precious and blessed Calvary, where Christ died for our sins. What a joy, what a tremendous, tremendous privilege. As we were singing this morning, I was praying and thinking about what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. To me, the most important is that I would be just a sign to mark and point toward Christ. That's the only thing I am. Somebody told me a few weeks ago, "Oh, missionaries, you are heroes." He said that to me. And I looked at him and I said, "No, I am not a hero. I am not a hero." Now, it's true that I walk among heroes. I read about William Carey, Adoniram Hudson, Hudson Taylor, my favorite one, Livingston. Have you read of them? What a tremendous life. A life of sacrifice, a life of vision, a life of trust, and a life of faith. This morning I want to talk about faith and the trial of our faith. And I have to tell you the truth, and I feel like I'm in a family with my family, so I'm going to open my heart and tell you what I think. I'm afraid. Really. I don't know if you, Pastor, had this feeling of saying, "Oh, Lord, I want to just run." Like, I don't know who was that ran the door, one of the missionaries from the past. It's how I feel, because I know my feebleness. If God does not do the work, I cannot do it. And then also, I'm going to open my heart, and that's a danger in doing that. Because you may see some pretty things and some ugly things. But I need to open my heart to you so you will understand what are we doing and why we're doing it. And we're going to read the Bible in 1 Peter. And I pray that the Lord will talk to your heart, to my own heart this morning, and that it would be a blessing. So please open your Bibles in 1 Peter. We're going to read starting in verse 3. 1 Peter, verse 3. Chapter 1 and verse 3. The first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye gladly rejoice, though now for a season, if needed, be ye are in heaviness, though manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, ye believing, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our beloved Heavenly Father, I am so conscious that unless you speak through your word, I work by it in vain. I cannot do the work. Only your Holy Spirit can deal with our hearts and our needs in this morning. So, Father, I come to you asking for your help, your presence among us, as we contemplate the precious blessing that we have received in our Lord and Savior. Help me, Father, to preach according to your will in this morning, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Faith. What a word. What a strange word. And I guess that everybody here has faith. Actually, we have a chapter in the Bible dedicated to this topic, faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, they trusted in God. They did mighty things. And we read that chapter, and at the end, it really says that this chapter is unfinished. There are more names to be added to the list. And we understand that those names maybe is your name and my name. The Lord wants for us to trust and to know that He is able to do even more than what we expect from Him. Faith is what moves our hearts to action. And sometimes, what a crazy thing is faith. We trust in things that are not really trustful. But we have faith. I mean, I saw your faith this morning as you were coming here to this service. I look at you and I realized that everybody just sat down. You proved to have faith. Have any of you maybe touched the pew to see if it was strong enough to hold your body? Have any of you just, you know, tried to sit and see if it was going to hold or it was going to break? No. Nobody did that. You just came in and you just sat down. You had faith that the pew was going to hold you. We trust in human things. We trust in what we can do. We trust in our arm. But let me say this. Do we trust in God? Sometimes we don't. Actually, the word faith, pistis from the Greek, it can be referred to different things, even to a body of belief, the Christian faith. It can be used to talk about the faith of our fathers. We use that expression here in the States, you know. We use the word faith to talk about a person that really is able to do things that we can. And we say, oh, he has so much faith. But one thing is true about faith. When we have faith in Christ, we have eternal life. We just read it here. Peter is writing to a group of believers that are under persecution, the Roman Empire. Some of those believers actually will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16, there is a long list of names. I'm sure you have read it. Some of those names we know by tradition that they died as martyrs for Christ. Here, Peter is writing to the same fellows, saying, hey, you have to have faith and trust in Christ because the Lord is coming soon, and your faith can be trust, can be trials coming along, but you have to trust in God. He is powerful to save your soul. And then we say, yes, I trust in God. He has given me eternal life. I have faith in that. Many of us, when we were lost in our sins and we were in the world without hope, without any kind of light, the Lord came to our lives. Do you remember those times when you were just lost? Just lost, as lost can be. And suddenly you put your faith in Christ, and what a joy, what a change, what a blessing. You trusted in Him for eternal life. Yes, we trust in Christ for eternal life, but sometimes we don't trust Him for our worldly life, for our time in here. That is different, right? Because anyway, you know, I have bills to pay at the end of the month, and I have a job, and my job, there is a boss in there. And let me tell you about my boss, right? Who has faith with the woman that God gave me, right? Who has faith with this man that God gave me? Faith is something that, yeah, we can use for eternal life, and we know for our eternity, we have trust Christ for eternity. But we don't trust Him for our now and our present. And then I am not talking about pastors or missionaries. We sometimes think that faith is for them. I'm talking about each of us. Because here on earth, while we are walking, we need to have this kind of faith. It's not the quantity of faith that you have. It's the quality. Do you know in whom we have belief? We have belief in the Almighty God. I mean, our God created heaven and earth and the universe. That's the God that listens to our prayers when we pray. That's the Lord that when we say, oh Lord, help me, I am in this problem, in this trial, He's there for us. hearing us, and ready for action because we are his children and he loved us. The faith that we have is not a dead faith. It's an active faith. We have to trust in him and in him alone. And how precious it is and how difficult. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Gideon. Remember Gideon and the Gideonites? Yes, I like him. Do you remember the story of, I think the word in English is flea? Flea. I say, well, yes. He put a flea on the field. A what? Fleas. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I make up words, so you follow me. Okay. Fleas. He put the fleas there on the field. And you know the story, right? It was wet. So he went and touched the fleas. It was wet. Now, he was really proving faith. I mean, I don't live in a barn, but I know that farms have big fields, and sometimes the rain will fall on the whole field, but not just in the fleas. That was faith. And that sometimes is a good level of faith. Actually, I think there are three levels of faith. First, I'm going to read from my notes, okay? First level, we do not believe if we do not have a proof or manifestation. We do not believe if we don't have a proof or manifestation, like the fleece of Gideon. He had faith. But he had faith because he had a proof. How many times we have told to the Lord, hey, Lord, do something for me, and if you do it, I will trust you. How we prayed that prayer many times. Lord, yeah, I will do it if you do something for me. I will have a manifestation, a proof, and I will apply faith to that. Now, the second level of faith is that we feel if it's wet, and then we trust. Always look for feelings. Always we look for feelings or some talking outside the Word of God. Oh, that's tricky. Not only when we touch, but when we feel. That's very popular among the charismatics, right? Can you feel the Holy Spirit? Can you feel the power? No, I don't feel it. Oh, you have a problem then, right? If you don't get out of the church in the morning just happy, doo-hoo! If you don't feel like that happiness, oh, you have a problem. Let me tell you something. When I have a headache, I don't have feelings. I have a headache. It's true. I mean, I love my wife dearly. She loves me. I mean, and I'm so thankful for the Lord. But when I have a headache, I am not very romantic. I have a headache. Okay? Well, sometimes in our Christian life, we have headaches. We have spiritual battles. We feel discouraged. We feel that you know, there's so much pressure in my job on Monday mornings. And I have to cross York, those seven light stops there in York, in I-30. I know them by memory, by heart. They're terrible, a lot of traffic. And I get to the job, and now I don't have a feeling. I have a battle. And what is the problem? Many, many Christians are living not by faith, but by feeling. If I don't feel it, is that I don't have it. Well, I don't need to feel God's love. I know he loves me. The measure of his love for me was that he gave his son for me. Is that not enough proof? What else do I need to feel? But as Christians, we sometimes, yes, we deposit our Christian life in what we feel. And if we feel okay, we are great. But the days that we don't feel okay, then we feel that something is wrong. You have to trust in God's word. That's the kind of faith that we have to have when we know in whom we have believed. He has promises. He hath told me he's going to give me eternal life. But he also told me he was going to be with me all the day long, every day of my life. And maybe I don't feel it, but I know he is there. And what an advance, what a blessing, what a joy, what a victory. Even if I don't have the emotions, I know he is there. Christian, don't trust your feelings. Trust in his promises. Trust in what he has said in his word, because he is faithful and true. He is not going to lie to you. We need this kind of faith as a church and as a Christian and as a missionary. I heard somebody had a church in some place, and that church began to burn in fire. It was a big fire. The firefighters came, they were working, tried to put the fire, and the pastor was looking at the building, how it was burning down. And just the neighbor was there, just looking, the church burning. And the pastor looked to the neighbor and said, "Oh, hello, good morning, neighbor. I haven't never seen you before here at church." And the neighbor looked at him and he said, "Because I never saw the church in fire." Do you get the point? Well, we better be in fire for the Lord, trusting in his promises. Now, this is me, and I'm going to be careful. I don't want to offend anybody. I want to be careful. But I want also to be able to express my heart to you, dear family, and for you to understand what's my heart. When I began to serve the Lord, and I was called to missions, and I was called to preach, I was very influenced by men like George Mueller. I'm sure you have heard of him. And those missionaries of old. I read their lives, and I understood that they were trusting in the Lord by faith. I understood that the heart of missions was faith. God called me to do something, I'm going to do it. He will provide. God called me to do the impossible. Yet, it was impossible for William Carey to go down the deep, dark hole of India. But God called him. He went. Hudson Taylor? Yeah, that funny fellow. Long hair. You know this story? Right? He went there to China. And everybody was saying, "No, you cannot go to the China interior. You will die." Good. I will go to heaven. But I'm going. Hudson Taylor went there by faith and trusting. Livingstone, Mr. Livingstone, you know the story? Lost in the deep jungle of Africa. And a newspaper man came, and finally, after years of looking for him, he looked at him and he said, "Livingstone, I suppose." Huh? Where is the heart of Livingstone? In Africa. His body was taken to England when he died. His heart was taken out. That was mean. I don't know who did that, but they took his heart and put the heart in Africa. And that's a missionary. That's a missionary by faith alone. When we raised support, I was hearing this morning, and also somebody asked me after, we raised 50% of support. And I did that on purpose. I mean, I know, I was crazy. Okay, this is Peter. Maybe another missionary wouldn't do it. I did it. We raised 50% support. We wanted for the nationals to support their own ministry. We wanted to go by faith. We wanted to learn that if God called me to do something, I was going to trust him. And I did things, and we did things, and God did things for us that I have no explanation. Because God was dealing. God was working. And it has been precious. We cannot take faith out of missions. And it's okay that, you know, we calculate and we think how to do things and we make our numbers. That's fine. But if it is our arm and strength, then where is God's arm and where is God's strength? I think as missionaries, we have to take hold of the promises of God and to know that God is powerful. And you know, as you're here in the States, it's the same, brethren. I am realizing the discouragement in some churches because Satan is attacking the United States, and I've seen the changes in this country, and I saw the changes in the culture and in the government, and everything is going bad and worse, and the churches are getting liberal, and apostasy is growing. Let me tell you something. God has no change. He is faithful. Don't be afraid. He is with us. Remember the old prophet who said, more are the ones that are with us than with them. Let Satan have his kingdom if he wants. We have the kingdom of God with us. We have his promises. Don't be afraid. Take hold of those promises. Because that is what is going to bring me to the third kind of faith. And we have read it here. The first faith was that faith that believed when everything is positive. Yes, I trust. I believe. The second one is when, yes, I trust and believe because I feel. But the kind of faith that is here in verse 7 is when you have faith even though things are wrong. Look at that verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found upon praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's interesting. Is the faith more precious than gold? Well, I read in my Greek Bible, and I discovered that no, faith is not more precious than gold. According to the original in Greek, it is very clear there, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. The faith is precious, and we have other verses to talk about the preciousness of faith. But here in this verse, it talks about the trial of your faith. And there are moments in our lives that we are in trial. I cannot give you an explanation or tell you why. You can ask the Lord when we get to his presence. In the book of Isaiah, I read a verse that says, well, when you go, you walk in fire, the flame will not burn on you, translating from Spanish. If you cross the river, the water will not sink you down. You know that verse? Have you realized what that verse says? When you walk in fire, when you are crossing the river, we miss that point. I thought the Lord was going to say, you will never walk in fire. That will be nice. Or you will never cross a river. That will be nicer. I will not get wet. But the Lord was saying, you will walk through fire, and you will walk through a river, and I will be with you. But my son, you're going to walk. That's the kind of faith here in the Bible, the trial of your faith. I had cancer 2 years ago. It was a big trial. If you have suffered something like that, you will understand me. For 5 days, I didn't know if I was going to live or die. I didn't know what was going to happen with my family, with my ministry, with my dog. I mean, I was horrified, petrified. I was fearful. I was afraid. Not of death. I was going to heaven. But what was going to happen? I'm sorry, I would love to say now, I had a lot of faith and I was ready to die. I wasn't. I didn't want to die. I had things to do. I wanted to do. I wanted to see my children getting married. I wanted to be a grandpa. I wanted to do all those things. And the Lord was taking me through a trial of faith. And my faith was trust, was really shaky. My faith was there, and I said, Lord, I don't understand a word. I don't understand what you are doing, but I trust you. I trust you. And after chemotherapy, I was just sharing with somebody. I felt so feeble, so tired. I didn't know if I was able to do furlough this year. It was a trial of faith. And then you think your life as a missionary, what you do for God, and you realize, you know, I am 50 years old. Looking back, and I think, Lord, what have I done for you? Nothing. And seeing my own miseries, my own faults, my fallings, my sins. Never heard of these things from a missionary, haven't you? Seeing all of that. We share in our prayer letters victories and joy. But there were a lot of frustrations as well. Many things we wanted to do never were accomplished. Many things that trust was there, I remember, and I think I shared this in one of our prayer letters. There was a possibility of $1 million donated to us for a camp. $1 million. I was happy. I was talking with this brother. He was working with the government of another country with a huge, huge company. He was going to give me just a portion of his tithe. $1 million. We could buy a camp. We were able to do a lot of things. Crisis came along. Remember the huge crisis? Okay, guess what? Where was the $1 million? I don't know. The poor brother lost everything. Then, 2 years later, was a lady had a piece of ground and promised to us she was going to give us that piece of ground to build a camp, a Christian camp and a Christian school. I was excited. I pray about it. She died before doing her last will. We lost it. What do you do? Did God make a mistake? No. Did God make a mistake in our cancer? No. God doesn't make mistakes. He is faithful. But to him, the most important thing is the trial of our faith. It's not what we do for God. I tell you, I believe there will be people in the churches that will receive a greater gift from the Lord in his presence, a better crown before his presence than we missionaries. We are human sinners, fallen creatures. That is what a missionary is. It's somebody that has leper, that sickness, leper, you say, or leprosy. Leprosy. And go to another with leprosy, and he says, I found a place where you can be healed. It's called Calvary. It's called Christ. That faith works when any other thing works. When you don't trust in yourself, on your strength, or your money. I don't have any saving in my account. I know what it means to get to the end of the month and live with whatever you had in your refrigerator. I know that. But many of you too. So what? Trust in the Lord. I am not skinny. I am eating three times a day. I'm not dying. I'm good. God has kept his promises. The trial of your faith. When the Lord sends a trial to you, he has a purpose to be more precious than gold. May I read the poem to you? This is not my poem. I didn't write it, but I love it. And I wrote it down here. And I would like to read it for you. It says, just starting here, talking about the three stages of faith. The first phase of faith, belief when there are favorable emotions. The second, belief when there is the absence of feeling. But the third, the trial of your faith, believe God and his word when circumstances, emotions, appearances, people, and human reason all urge us to the contrary. But we believe. May God give us faith to fully trust his word, though everything else witness the other way. Listen to this. When is the time to trust? Is it when all is calm, when waves the victor's palm, and when life is used glad psalm of joy and praise? Nay. But the time to trust is when the waves beat high, when storms, clouds fill the sky, and prayer is one long cry. Oh, help and save. When is the time to trust? Is it when friends are true? Is it when comforts woo? And in all we say and do, we meet but praise? Nay. But the time to trust is when we stand alone and summer birds have flown and every prop is gone and else but God. What is the time to trust? Is it some future day when you have tried your way and learned to trust and pray by bitter woe? Nay, but the time to trust is in this moment's need. poor, broken, bruised reed, poor, troubled soul, make speed to trust thy God. What is the time to trust? Is it when hopes beat high, when sunshine gilds the sky, and joy and ecstasy fill all the heart? Nay. But the time to trust is when our joy is fled, when sorrow bows the head, and all is cold and dead, all else but God. When is the time to trust? Now. Trust in Him. You must expect great things from God. He is great, the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior of us, our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the trial of our faith is precious. Don't get discouraged. Be strong in the Lord. He's coming soon. We deposit our faith to be safe and we'll go to heaven. But trust Him as you serve Him. He's there with you. His power, His mighty, His strength, His presence. This is our philosophy of missions, that we serve Him by faith and faith alone. Pastor Moss.